And I hope and I pray that for some of you, if not all of us, it will cause us to present ourselves to the Lord. I'll put it that way. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that as we as a family have come together this morning, Lord God, with kids in the main sanctuary today, Christmas Day, Celebration Day, Worship Day, Lord, that you would help us to put on sandals, as it were, to be cloaked with our robes, and to be not only going back in time to wonder, to imagine how it must have been on that morning, that early morning hours in the fields of Bethlehem. But Lord, that today, by the time we come to the end of this service together, that we'd have a whole new perspective on Christmas and what it all means. So Father, we ask now that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your eyes to the screen, if you would, and imagine with us.
Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?
The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy child which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word.
What must have been radically amazing and unexplainable to Mary had been written down in the Bible in advance, had been announced. God's Son was going to come into the world. And the Bible tells us, church, as I read to you, in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "And so it was while Joseph and Mary were there in the days that were completed for her to be delivered, that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And now there were in the country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" And it's all because of what today's message is entitled, "It's the Day Jesus Came." We're going to talk briefly this morning about that before you go home and celebrate and be with family and be with friends and rejoice in all what God has done for us today. All around the world, people are gathered to wish one another Merry Christmas, to exchange gifts, to honor Him in cultures all around the world. Many cultures in secret, because it's not right to mention Jesus or speak about Jesus, yet He's worshiped today as He should be. And so as we look at this, the day Jesus came, it's all about the Christ of Christmas this way. Number one, God had a perfect plan. And this morning, parents, if you don't mind, I really want to speak to your kids today. We're happy that they're in the sanctuary today. But I want all of you to know that God not only had a plan, He has a plan. And the Bible tells us what that plan is. The Bible says that Christmas is all about the day that God sent His Son into the world to rescue us. Now, you might not think we need rescuing, but you and I, according to the Bible, need to be rescued. Right now, as you guys maybe have young kids in your life, when they're young and when they're little, if they get scared, if they get startled, they'll reach their arms up. They want to be picked up. They want to be rescued from something that is scaring them. It could be a dog that barks, or it could be strangers in the room. Little kids want to be picked up and scooped up in that sense of rescue. And the Bible says that Jesus came, born as a baby on Christmas Day, but the entire Old Testament of the Bible said that He would come to rescue us. That God had a plan. And that plan to rescue is called the plan of redemption, that He's come to save us. And it's a great thing. The Bible says that there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. When we say Merry Christmas, it's automatically about Jesus, and Christ is what He does. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. That's why we exchange gifts with each other. Every gift we give one another, and every gift that you kids would go home and either you open this morning or you'll go home today and open up, it's a little reminder that God gave His gift. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And imagine that in life, Jesus was to be unwrapped and to be presented to the world. God's gift, wrapped up in a little package, a little baby boy. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, and you can put your name in there, for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, if you would believe in Him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, young kids this morning, you understand that just fine. Whoever, well, that's me, you would say, believes, I believe, in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You would say, that's a good deal. I would receive that gift. Now, I need a show of hands. How many of you you've already opened up gifts this morning? Raise your hands. You're early birds. You've already opened up gifts. Okay, then I just want to ask because I want to see. How many of you have not yet opened up your gifts? Raise your hands. Wow. You're going to go home and you're going to say, "Pastor, will the message be shorter today?" Very short today, I promise. I only have 21 minutes left, I promise. You're going to go home and what? You're going to have excitement, anticipation, and you're going to dive under that tree and you're going to start throwing the wrappings all around to see what you've gotten for Christmas. And that's great. But just remember, as you do it, God gave his son that we might unwrap him in our lives, that we might receive him into our life, that the greatest gift of all, eternal life, would be ours freely because God gives gifts. And listen, kids get that. They understand that. Parents, older people, we're weirdos. Because somebody gives us a gift and then we feel, oh, we go, thank you, great. And then we're thinking in our minds, oh man, what I didn't get them anything. Or I got them a real junky thing. Or, you know what I'm saying? We get all weird about it. Kids are not like that. They get a gift, they don't analyze it. They dive in and they get it. And God wants us. In fact, doesn't the Bible say that for all of us that we need to become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven? Amen. Today, when you go home, right, kids, you're going to go home. You're going to just go crazy with those gifts. Hey, older people, watch that happen. Watch it. Take pictures of it and remind yourself. That's exactly how God wants me to be with Jesus. To receive him like that, to love on him like that, to absolutely enjoy him like that. All of us need to be rescued. And you might say, well, why, Pastor, do we need to be rescued? The Bible tells us, now listen carefully. The Bible tells us, for all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. That means in heaven, it's glorious. God wants us there, but we're not dressed for heaven. We need to have new clothes, as it were, to get into heaven. And the Bible says that we've all sinned. That is, we've all got stains on our clothes, so to speak, and we can't get to heaven. We can't get in with dirty clothes. And God, through Jesus Christ, gives us a new suit of clothes. He gives us a new outfit. I saw many of you coming into this sanctuary this morning, all dressed up. Well, for that matter, I'm dressed up. If you're seeing me right now, it's either Christmas or it's your funeral. And that means you wouldn't be seeing me if you saw me dressed up, though, huh? It's Christmas. We get dressed up. We celebrate. We're excited about that. We get new clothes. And the Bible says for heaven, we get new clothes. And I look forward to that. But what did Jesus rescue us from? And what does the plan look like? The Bible says he rescues us from sin. And the plan looks like this. And kids, you'll get this verse better than anybody. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, that is, nobody can beat this argument. Even if they try. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. That is, God showed himself to the world. He was justified in the spirit, seen by angels. A few moments ago, you saw Hollywood's presentation of what it must have been like for the angel to speak to Mary. And as cool as that was, I'm sure it's pretty pathetic compared to how it really was. Spielberg can't get it down the way it really happened. But it's a cool thing. The angel spoke to Mary. And right here in the Bible says that Jesus in his birth into the world was seen by angels. Now you might say, well, don't angels see God all the time in heaven? But there's tremendous evidence in the Bible that when they're before God in heaven, they veil their faces in his presence. But irregardless of that, Jesus was being born into the world and the angels were there watching him come in that little barn-type stable cave that he was born into in Bethlehem. Angels, invisibly, because Joseph and Mary couldn't see them at that moment. But according to 1 Timothy 3:16 here, that angels gathered around to watch the baby be born. That had to be awesome. Can you imagine big angels, mighty angels, bowing down, stooping, watching, and out comes baby Jesus. You say, what's the big deal? Number one, God in the flesh, born into the world. Number two, the Bible says that Jesus is the creator of angels. They got to see their maker come into the world with human skin. That had a, well, according to this word seen, it did freak the angels out. Because the word means to be open-mouthed and wide-eyed. In other words, the angels were impressed. And I think it's pretty hard to impress an angel. God has a plan. Christmas Day is God's plan to rescue us and take us to heaven. But the issue, though, is you and I still, in the plan, we still have stains on our suit or on our clothes. We need to have a new set of clothes. So God loves us. And we hear his story and we say, Merry Christmas. It's the day Jesus came. But how do I get to heaven from here? How do I move on in someday and see God? That leads us to our second thing to think about. The day Jesus came is called Christmas because, listen, God knew we needed him the most. Now, kids, listen. What have you wanted for Christmas? You don't need to tell me, as long as you told your parents. But you say, I really need this. I've got to have this. Well, you really don't have to have it, but I know what you feel like. I need this. I've got to have this. Listen, have you ever gotten a gift and you think you really, really needed it? You really, really wanted it. And then when you got it a couple of days later, it's sitting out in the backyard rusting under the sprinklers or something. Or got a scratch in it and you throw it away. Listen, we are so blessed in America that you'll probably open today more than one gift. You might have two gifts. You might have three gifts. It would be awesome to open any gift today and say, thank you, God, right? Well, it all depends if I get what I want or not. No, no, no. We will be grateful. We'll choose to be grateful. And we open the gift and we say, thank you, God. And yet, you know what's a bummer? When we see people unwrap a gift, 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 and by the 25th gift, unwrap the gift and then say, is that all? Is that it? Why do they do that? Why do they go from one gift to the next? Because you know what? We are not satisfied with the one gift we got, so we move to the next one. And sometimes we get enough gifts for somebody hoping that maybe we'll strike pay dirt and get them what they want. Maybe if we just throw enough gifts out there, the kid will be happy. Nope, doesn't work that way. God knows exactly what we need, and it's not a shiny bike. It's not even a new Audi. I know that's hard for some of you to imagine, but it's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. It's amazing to think that his plan is a plan that includes predominantly, foremost, what you and I need the most. It's Jesus. In Romans 1, verse 2, the Bible says, God promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, that's the Bible, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the family of David, according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God. Wow. Jesus came. And he's our Christmas. The Bible says, now listen, remember I was talking to you about what do we wear? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, listen to this, everybody. This is kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Before I read the verse, have you seen that really cute commercial? I think it's the second year now they're running it because it's worked so well. Where dad pulls up in the driveway, parks his car, he goes in the house, and he goes to the kitchen, and I think he's washing his head, getting a drink of water, it doesn't matter. And him and his wife are standing there looking outside in the driveway, and that little tiny kid, it looks like he's about 5 years old. You know what I'm talking about? He's standing in the Darth Vader suit. Have you seen it? And he's standing there, and the kid's got his helmet on. He looks awesome, actually. The little guy standing there in this huge cape. And he's standing right in front of the grill of the car, and he's looking right at the grill. And he stretches out his hands. And the dad takes the remote and starts clicking, and the lights come on, and the horns start, and the kid jumps back. Under such great power. It is the cutest thing. That kid, now I'm employing my imagination right now, assuming that kid was thinking for a moment, I did that. Man, this Darth Vader outfit works. And he stretches out his arms and all that stuff happens. I wonder how many times in life stuff goes like that with us and God. Hey, look what I did. And God's got the remote. He was clicking it. I think that's the definition of ministry. Wow, look what's happened. Hey, don't get too excited. God's clicking. He's blessing. It's amazing. See, what does that do with anything? It has everything to do with this. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For God the Father made Jesus, his son, who knew no sin." He was sinless, perfect. "To become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." That is, we put on Jesus. This morning I put this suit on. I put it on. I don't look as fat in this suit. Don't I tell me I don't look as fat in this suit. We put our clothes on. It's different. It's changed. And I don't know, ladies, you've never worn a suit, but all of us guys this morning, the pastors, we were praying. And before we started praying, I'd made the comment, isn't it weird how these things make you stand up straight, or you have to stand up straight? They're just stiff. You have to stand up straight. And they have a tendency to make you act different because your shoes are different and you have to walk different. And it's like, okay. Well, this is some silly suit from Macy's or somewhere. I don't know, Express, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's made by people. It's going to get holes in it. It's going to fall apart. The suit that God gives us, notice what that verse said, that we who are sinners, we have stains on our clothes. God, listen, sent Jesus to take the stains off of our clothes and put it on his son Jesus. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He imagine all the world, he took our stains on his robe, as it were, on himself, our sins. He took them, and then he carries them to the cross, and he dies at the cross. And it seems incredibly sad and horribly terrible, but that was Friday, not to worry, Sunday was coming. God would be resurrected from the dead exactly as his great plan was, to rescue us. And he took our sins away. And the Bible says that if you believe in what God is saying to you through his Bible, this Bible, God says, "I took your sins, put them on my son, and those sins killed my son." Lying, cheating, stealing, ugly mouth, bad attitude, kicking the cat, biting the dog, not doing your homework, talking back, all that stuff, God put on Jesus. Jesus dies. But because he's God, he pays the price because he's the only one who could afford it. And then rose again from the dead on Sunday morning. It's called Easter. And we get to go free only if we trust him. You got to trust him. How many kids are in here right now? And what is a kid these days? Tell me, what's a kid? What's the age? What's the break off? Is a 13-year-old a kid? No. 41, this guy, I'm with him. All right, let me just pick an age. If you're 10 years older or younger, raise your hand. If you're 10 years older or younger, raise your hand high. I guess it would be hard to see some of your hands because you would be too little. There's a little guy getting picked up right there. All right, awesome. We'll see you hopefully more in a moment. Huh? The Bible tells us regarding God's amazing love for us. Jesus says, "Do not forbid, don't hold back the children from coming to me." Amen. That's what God says. Parents, first of all, listen, little side note. That means parents. Part of us being parents, God has a child come into your world, into your life, being born or adopted, or even a foster child, to point them to Jesus. That's the greatest thing you can do for a child. Is to point them to the one who loves them the most, even more than mom and dad, is the love of God for our kids. And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus came at the right time for us. Because he knew what we needed the most. Now listen to this. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." That is when God made all the stuff of the world, the amazing things, the planets, the stars, the dinosaurs, the everything. "In the beginning was the Word," or "the Word was there. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's Jesus at Christmas. That's Jesus every day. And that's Jesus when you invite him into your heart and life. It's great. And third and final thing is this. God wants everyone. God wants everyone in the world to unwrap his great gift, to make him your own. It's normal, I guess, on a day like this, that somebody might get something you wanted. Everybody's unwrapping the gifts, everybody's looking, and you look at, you know, your brother or your sister across the room, and they're unwrapping the thing that you really wanted. Or they've got something, and you didn't really want it, but now that you've seen it, you want to play with it, and so you kind of mosey on over there, and while they're not looking, maybe distracted by some other gift, you pick it up and you walk back over to your side of the tree. And then you know how that happens. It happens every in almost every house. Lisa and I, it happens to us all the time. And so, what's going on? Well, the fact of the matter is that the things that we get in this life are cool and fun and amazing and all that stuff, but it's just not going to last. And the excitement of wrapping something for someone is great. Then watching them unwrap it is great. But you know what's a real bummer? Parents, you'll agree with me, right? When you give a gift to a child and they unwrap it and they look at it, and they give you that face like they're constipated or something, it's like, what is this? You know how many people today are living life, and it's Christmas all around the world today, and people are going, what is it? They have lights on their house, maybe. They've got Christmas gifts. They have a Christmas tree. Say, oh, Pastor, we don't have a Christmas tree. We have a holiday tree. Hey, you're still right on. Did you know that? I hate to burst your bubble, but let me be the first one today to ruin your Christmas day. You may have a holiday tree in your house. Do you know what the word holiday means? Thank you. The word holiday means holy day. In fact, that might even be stronger. What is Christmas? It's a holy day. It's holy. If it's holy, then that means it's got to be bigger than us. If it's holy, that means it's got to be better than us. If it's holy, it's bigger than the presents we get. It's a holy day. What we should say is, what holy day is it? This is my holy tree. What holy tree is it all about for? Happy holidays. Oh, you mean holy days. See, well, it's kind of over now. You know, today's Christmas, and so it's over now. I don't know. What's in a week from now? New Year's. Who says it's New Year's? The world's older than 2012 years, you know. You know, the calendar's going to change, you know. And it's going to be 2012. Then what are you going to do? It's a holy day. Next Sunday on New Year's Day, it's a holy day. Why? Because the calendar screams Jesus. It's 2012 years since he was born. Amen. What do you think? You write that date down for? What year is it? It's 2012. It's going to be 2012. 2011 right now, it's going to be 2012. Based on what? Holy day. Right? Can't get away from him. All of that makes me happy. Especially if it unruffles some of your feathers. It's like, I don't like that. What are you going to do about it? It's a fact. It's a fact. God's announcement comes to us in all kinds of ways. The Bible says in Luke 2:10, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. What an amazing thing that is. How happy is that? Listen to this. Last verse of the day. It's pretty cool. I love it. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, asking, inquiring, this is what they were asking, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. That's why you came here today, to worship him. And I'm wondering right now, listen, how many of you in this sanctuary today would have loved to have seen that happen? How many of you would have loved to have been there to see what we saw a moment ago? Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that? Some of you might even be saying, well, if I would have seen it, then I would be a believer in Jesus. Hey, you know what? We know from eyewitness accounts that that's not true. Seeing something doesn't make you a believer. We can see things and we can deny them. We can have things go on in life and refuse them. But the younger you are, the more God's message makes sense. And I think that's significant. Again, I'll quote the verse. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know why? A child is believing. Remember, mom and dad? Your kids jump into your arms. Your kids trust you. Your kids run behind your knees when they're scared. Your kids know better. I want you guys to watch a little video. We showed this to you, I think, some years before. But at the end of this video, I want you to be thinking about, would you be in this group? Would you be playing a part? And I'm asking this not only of the kids right now, but of everyone. Where would you be in this scene that you're about to watch right here, right now?
It was getting quite late. It was just past 10 o'clock as nearby shepherds were tending their flock. First, Gabriel spoke.
You have nothing to fear.
Then the choir joined in.
Do you hear what I hear?
My friends and I have been heaven sent to welcome you both to tonight's big event. God's Son has been born, and he'd like you to go see for yourselves so that others might know.
What a great honor.
We'd love to be there!
But, as you can see, we have nothing to wear.
The Lord doesn't care if you're shepherd or sheep. The Lord doesn't care if you're mighty or meek. Because your God loves you, he's sending his Son, not for rich or for poor, but for everyone.
Then wishing them peace and a world of goodwill, he left them in awe atop of their hill. They straightened their robes. They were very excited.
Who would have imagined that we'd be invited?
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in revival, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing.
Corner, we were startled by the sight, for starlight bathed a stable on that silent, holy night. We thought we'd find a king of wealth and might. But in that blessed moment, we three wise men saw the light. and out-of-towners, too. He came for all the moms and dads. He came for kids like you.
Do about that. Listen, I'm going to ask you to pray right now, and you might be thinking, well, if I could just go to Bethlehem like that, that'd be awesome. You know, you can do better than that right now. The Bible says, to as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become sons of God. And that's no doubt daughters of God too. So let's pray. And this morning, I can't think of a greater gift than for you to receive eternal life through Jesus, and at the same time, you present yourself to Jesus if you've never done that before. What a great day. On Christmas Day, you can receive a gift and be a gift all in one day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, for the message. There's no message like this in all the world. There'll never be. This is it. And your Bible's very clear. You went through such great expense. You paid it all. You did it all. And the news is glorious to all those who will receive. But the news that is good is also not so good for those who reject the gift. But right now is the opportunity to receive. And right now, wherever you are, no matter how young or old you might be right now, just as Andy Griffith just said so a moment ago, Jesus came for you. And you can now meet him in your prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe right now today, you'd raise your hand and you'd say, by raising your hand, you're saying, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today on Christmas Day. I want him to be my Lord, my God. Just as we heard today, the story of Christmas, I want it for my life. I want my sins forgiven, my spots removed. I want to get a new suit for heaven. I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you this morning, raise your hand high. And if you're too little, then stand on your chair. But you're accepting Jesus today. Raise your hand up. God bless you in the back and in the middle here. Anyone else, God bless you. And again, if you're too little, stand on your chair. If you want Jesus today, God bless you. Many hands. God bless you over here. God bless some of you older kids that are raising your hands right now, too. Awesome. Those of you who have raised your hands, will you pray this prayer? In fact, family of God, will you let these words fall from your lips, too, to encourage them as well? Let's let heaven hear it, even though we've already prayed it. But for those of you who are praying this for the first time, let it come out of your mouth. And church, pray with them also. Here we go. Hang on. Dear Lord, we come to you today asking you to forgive us, to be our God and our Savior, to receive me now. As I receive you, Lord, Jesus Christ, my Savior, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, church, if you raised your hands, God heard your prayer. And as we end this